Yes, you're on the right station, folks. Once again, you found it. The hour of the time. I'm William Cooper, the man William Clinton named as the most dangerous radio host in America in a White House memo which Rush Limbaugh read on the air. That's right. The big fat man who claims that he is the spokesperson for conservatism in America ducked the responsibility when the administration was pinging on what they call, quote, right-wing, end quote, radio talk programs. And his assertion that he is the most dangerous man in America was proven false when he did that. Of course, you know, that's a big feather in my cap, folks. It means that my arrows are striking the target. I shoot truth. The reason I'm the most dangerous radio host in America is because socialists, communists, New World Order proponents, those who are pushing world government down our throats, the ones who are destroying this country from within, cannot stand the cold, hard light of truth. That's what makes me dangerous. That's what has made people who speak truth throughout history dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what will always be the most dangerous weapon that you can ever, ever bring against any enemy, is the truth. If you would like to help us keep doing that, help the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network continue to expand its programming, and by the way, this Saturday, a new program will debut at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. I'm not going to tell you anything about it. You're going to love it. Just make sure that you tune in at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That's this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, on the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You will be pleasantly, and I mean pleasantly, surprised as we continue to expand the programming for the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. And this broadcast, I understand, is going to be picked up by several AM and FM major stations across the country. So we are getting there slowly but surely, and we're doing it, of course, with your help. One of the ways we're doing it is we're making programming available to anybody who wants it, who will speak the truth, not spread rumor, and or entertain the listeners of the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network with the lowest broadcasting rates available in the entire world, bar none. And if you're interested in having your own radio broadcast and you can adhere to the rules of this network and meet your financial obligations on time, you see, when we give you the lowest rates in the industry, there ain't no reason that you can't pay your bill when it's due. That has to be understood up front. And you can't get better rates anywhere else. If you can, then that's where you ought to be. But call 520-333-4578 between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, any Monday through Friday, and talk to Connie. She'll be happy to fill you in on the rates and the rules, and if she can't, then I will. And I'm always here during that time. That's 520-333-4578. I'm William Cooper, in case you need to talk to me. And I hope that you'll help us make this a great success. The communist news networks and the communist-controlled press throughout this country has made sure that the American people never, ever hear the truth. And we sort of make sure that they do. And that's what we're all about. If you'd like to help the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network expand its programming, then you need to call Southwest International Trading at 1-800-295-2432 and ask how you can get your hands on some real money. That's 1-800-295-2432. Ask how you can get your hands on some real money. And you don't have to purchase what we advertise. A broadcast of my talk that I gave in Porterville, California, late winter of this year. Wasn't yet spring. When I left the mountains here in Arizona, there was still snow on the ground. In fact, it was snowing when we left. And, of course, in California, it was beautiful, balmy. You would have sworn that it was a summer day in Porterville, California.
That you need to do. But I want to just sort of give you a few things that are recent, so you'll know. And these are not really terribly serious things. Some of them are, but they're just things that you will all understand, and you'll understand them quickly. Listen to this. How many of you know who Alvin Toffler is? How many of you have read his books? What was the first book? Future Shock. And then after that was what? No, the third wave came after the second wave. Yeah. He wrote a whole plethora of books. Now, there's some people you can listen to who are not gurus. God's not whispering in their ear. They don't have a crystal ball. But they are what I call the inner circle. They know what's coming. They're part of it. And when they write or they talk, you'd better listen to them. One of them's Henry Kissinger. Listen to Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger doesn't just get up and jaw. If he says something, it's important. Listen to him. Whether you like him or not doesn't make any difference. But I've discovered that most people who ever meet him really like him a lot. He's very charismatic, very polite, very gracious, very nice guy. He's also one of the biggest traitors that's ever lived. But isn't he in good company? Really? Another one is Alvin Toffler. And there's lots more, and I'm not going to go through the whole list. But Alvin Toffler, whatever he writes, is generally going to happen. Another one that you have to read is Foreign Relations. Foreign Relations is published by the Council on Foreign Relations, and you can subscribe to their publication. Whatever they write in there usually happens about 2 years later. Whatever it is. It's almost like magic. If they're not involved in any of this, how come what they write about always happens? Almost everybody in government belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, or both. Toffler admits to having been a Marxist in the third wave. He wrote it on page 24. Now, when a socialist admits that they were a Marxist, what does that mean? They still are. Toffler says in the third wave, it requires governments that are simpler, more effective, yet more democratic than any we know today. What's that a code word for? Socialist. It is a civilization with its own distinctive world outlook, its way of dealing with time, space, logic, and causality. What's that mean? World outlook, world government, world control, causality, social engineering. You understand what I'm saying? They speak in a code that they understand perfectly. The average person hasn't got the slightest idea what they're talking about. And if you don't study them and their symbology and what they believe in and what their agenda is, you'll never know. You could read this and never know what this guy's saying. Oh, that sounds nice. That's what most people say. Oh, that sounds nice. Doesn't it sound nice in a way? But if you really understand, it's not nice at all. What they're saying is, screw you, we're going to enslave you. We're going to engineer how you live, how you think, how you work, everything. Hitler tried it, didn't he? You see, this is a big deception that Hitler was a right-wing guy. Hitler, and you better learn this if you never learn anything else in your world, Hitler was a socialist. Nazi means National Socialist German Workers' Party, doesn't it? Hitler socialized Germany. All control is always on the left. Always. If you're left-wing, you're for control of yourself and other people. A scale measures two extremes. On the far left, you have total control of everything and everyone, and, by the way, ownership of everything and everyone by the state, which is more important than anything. It's called communism. On the right, all the way at the extreme, you have the total absence and lack of any and all control by anybody over anything or anyone. That's called anarchy. Anarchy sucks. Communism sucks. Socialism is just a little step above communism and usually degrades into communism, and it also sucks. Usually, anything close to anarchy also sucks. And so do all those people who want to engage in those things. To tell you the truth, they're in a mind state that sucks. A constitutional republic is somewhere in the middle of these two extremes and provides safeguards to protect individual freedoms and creator-endowed liberty. Whether you believe in God or not, if you don't understand that freedom and liberty must be creator-endowed, then you are opening the door for somebody to take it away from you because they don't have to answer to a creator. You understand? So even if you don't believe in God, you better start. If you want to stay free. If you want to stay free. If you don't care about freedom, you don't have to believe in God. You see, there must be something that human beings answer to protect us from ourselves. Because the minute we become God, how many of you in here want me to be God? I don't want me to be God either. Because I know who I am. I know the temptations that I'm subject to. I have seen what power can do to people, and I might fall prey to that same corruption that would allow me to use that power wrongly. Even Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, was tempted. What was it that Satan offered him? The world. What is it these people are after? The world. Jesus turned it down. They're not gonna. If you were to give me the world, you know, I'd be hard put to turn it down, because then I could make it the way I want it to be. Is it the way I want it to be the way you want it to be? You don't know that. You don't know, and that's the big problem. Why would you even want to take a chance? I'm a pretty good guy. But you don't want to take a chance on giving me the world or anybody else. You don't want the world. You don't want vast amounts of power. Because you're a human being. And power will corrupt you and destroy you, and you will use it to destroy others. And that's the truth of the matter. You don't want it. Toffler said in the third wave on page 6, this book is based on what I call the revolutionary premise. That's Marxist, if there ever was a Marxist statement in the whole wide world. Here's also what he says on page 9. Now, if you don't understand the ordo ab chao technique, order out of chaos. By the way, that's the motto of the 32nd degree of Freemasonry. Ordo ab chao. We'll just devolve everything into a state of chaos, and out of that we will bring order to the world the way we want it. And everybody will get down on their knees and thank us for restoring order and security to their lives. And they will be willing to give up anything to us for that favor. Quote, in the United States today, as in many other countries, the collection of second and third waves creates social tensions, dangerous conflicts, and strange new political wave fronts that cut across the usual divisions of class, race, sex, or party. All the old polarizations and coalitions break up. End quote. How many of you women thought Gloria Steinem was doing you a favor? Gloria Steinem is a communist who created the concept of feminism to destroy American family life. Feminism is not good for you. Being a responsible woman is good for you. Being a good person is good for you. Whether you choose to do it in business or in the home doesn't make any difference to me. And yes, you should get equal pay for equal work. And yes, you should have the vote and all of this other stuff. But feminism? Feminism is war between women and men. It was created intentionally to destroy the basic unit of freedom in this country, and that's the family. Toffler even admits that there's a plan. On page 10 of his book, quote, life may indeed be absurd in some large cosmic sense, but this hardly proves that there is no pattern in today's events. In fact, there is a distinct, hidden order that becomes detectable as soon as we learn to distinguish third wave changes from those associated with the diminishing second wave, end quote. There's always been a plan. They call it the great work, the great plan, the lost word. There's all kinds of words for it. It exists. It is being brought about. It is conscious. It is working its effect upon us now, today, as I speak. Now, I'm going to just give you a little demonstration of the degree of control that is already in effect in this country concerning communications. Now, if you're smart, you know that if you turn the dial on your radio and on your TV set and on every news story, it has the same slant in the same words and it's the same stories, you know that the news and the media are controlled. If you don't, you're not playing with a full deck of cards. Okay? It is absolutely absurd to believe that all these different networks, news stations, newspapers, and radio stations are all owned by different people, yet they all carry the exact same stories every day, worded in the exact same way, with the same agenda and the same slant. You see, if they were all separate and independent, that could never happen in a million years because no two people ever attach the same importance to the same event or the same slant on the same story unless they're handed it. Two federal agencies are looking into a goof that led four extra states to get an emergency warning broadcast meant as a test for just one radio station, which caused all radio stations in those four states to go off the air. It's automated. They can cause one state to go dark as far as communications are concerned, or two states, or three states, or all 50 with the push of a button. It's called FEMA. Relay points in Florida, Hawaii, Louisiana, and Ohio got the confusing signals. Now both the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Federal Communications Commission are looking into it to determine the exact cause and to be sure that there wasn't a functional error of the system, said FEMA spokeswoman Barbara Yeagerman. This was no accident. It was a test. To test the system because they've never done it before, to make sure that they could cause selected radio stations in selected states to go off the air at their push of a button. It's the first time that they've ever made such a test, but they can't tell the public that they can do that anytime they want, anywhere. So they say, oh, it was a mistake. It was a goof. If you wake up some morning and you can't get any radio stations on your radio, you better dig a hole. I wrote about this in my book. I said, the day will come when this will happen. Only it won't be a drill. It'll be to cause total confusion and panic in the population so they can do what they want and what they need to do, rounding up the people that they need to round up and need to get rid of in order to bring about their one world totalitarian socialist state. Without communications, what is the mob? Huh? Chaos. Without communications, without leadership, most people are helpless, useless, and dangerous. Don't believe me? Go back and look at all the videotape that you failed to make of the LA riots, which you should have made and should be studying over and over and over again. Also study how long it took for those supermarkets in LA to run out of food. And what happened to those supermarkets when they ran out of food? Did you know that over 50 people were murdered during those riots in LA, and not one single person has been prosecuted for any of those murders to this day? And did you know when you bring it up in the city of LA that the people attack you? Emotions were running high. It should be forgiven. We don't want anybody to be prosecuted. Hey, that's dangerous. Think it can't happen here? Think again. Some of the people you've lived around all your life, when society breaks down, will turn into your worst enemies, the baddest people you've ever seen. They will kill, rape, murder, and steal. Right now, they're nice people. And I got to tell you, you can never for sure determine who in the world's going to do what when that kind of stuff happens. You just can't. You don't know. You can't really determine who's going to stand up and fight for freedom when they suddenly realize that they're going to be enslaved by this new world order. Some of the people will surprise you. Some of the people who tuck their tail and run will also surprise you, because they're some of the people who are standing up right now talking and squawking the loudest about how hard they're going to fight. You'll be amazed at who comes out of the woodwork to really fight and who runs and hides and turns squealer and rats on everybody when it does. But don't make the mistake that you can determine who's going to do what now, because you can't. The only reason I can make this statement is based upon solid research of history, because this ain't the first time it ever happened, nor is it going to be the last if the human race has anything to do with it. We've been doing this since the beginning. How many of you have heard Hillary Clinton's latest quote? Commenting upon the release of subpoenaed documents, she said this, quote, "I'm not going to have some reporters pawing through our papers. We are the president." End quote. How many of you voted for Hillary? At Yellowstone National Park, United Nations delegates who surveyed the area last year called for a buffer zone around the park. So the Park Service is choking off the local economy by refusing to maintain certain highways and by buying up any property available. Of course, there will be plenty available as more and more owners are denied the use of their own private property, which causes businesses to shut down and economy to slow. Blah, 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 blah. Closing it off. Buffer zone means no human occupation. Now, what started this? How did they target Yellowstone Park and for the American public to be able to accept that? Remember hearing about a mine up there that was polluting everything? What was the name of the mine? Huh? I heard it. New World, don't be bashful. The New World Mine. You think that's an accident? No. Who do you think went up there and staked out the claim and started mining the New World mine to pollute everything to cause this to happen. Huh? You think some miner went up there and staked it out and decided to name it the New World Mine? You see these people? They laugh at us. Constantly laugh at us. Look at those fools. We got to stop that. We must stop it. Cleveland radio officials were baffled after a botched test of the government-operated emergency alert system disrupted programming on all local stations, went off the air simultaneously, and there was nothing that the local stations could do to get back on the air until FEMA released that button.
No, they can't do that.
How many of you have ever heard of where is it here? HR 3734. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to find out. I want you to read it. Get a copy. It's more draconian legislation.
They won't send these to you, Feinstein.
Pardon?
Feinstein won't send them to you.
She's not required to send House resolutions. She's in the Senate. How many of you have heard of this new movie, Waco, The Rules of Engagement? How many of you have seen it? Anybody? Nobody's seen it? It's out. It's been out for a while. I'm going to tell you, it was in San Francisco. Yeah, you should have gone up there to see it. You need to see it. You need to see this movie. I'm going to tell you where you can see it. Waco, The Rules of Engagement. We'll be showing the following locations on the following days. The Dolby Theater, 2021 Guadalupe in Austin, Texas. It'll be showing Friday, May 2nd through Thursday, May 8th, 1997. If you have to drive to see it, it's worth seeing. That's the Dolby Theater, 2021 Guadalupe, Austin, Texas. The phone number is 512-505-0105. May 2nd, 1997 through Thursday, May 8th, 1997. At the Atlanta Film Festival, there's somebody here from Atlanta, isn't there? Write it down right now. You're not writing. Where's your paper?
Folks, all of those dates given out at that conference expired a long time ago, so I'm not going to subject you to that because it's a long list, and we'll just go ahead and further into the program. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
The truth is, with all of the rural and geodetic temperature and weather monitoring stations around the world, if you take all the data from all of those and put it together, the truth is the temperature is actually getting a little cooler, not warmer. Some outside source, such as in the middle of a city. Right. They just changed the place where they're taking the temperature.
so that the temperature is affected by something else. Artificial, usually man-created, like parking lots. Where is the temperature greater? In the park or in the parking lot? In the parking lot. Now I want to go a long way back into history now, because I'm going to start with a few things that you need to know, and it's going to explain a few things that you've been seeing, and then we'll come up to modern time, and then the last couple of hours are going to be spent on what's going on and what you can do about it. Okay? But first we have to understand history. We've got to. If we don't understand history, if we don't understand symbology, if we don't understand race and religion, you cannot possibly understand what's happening today or why, who's bringing it about, and what you can do to combat it. It's absolutely impossible. And a lot of people think they can, but they can't. And I'll give you an example of how you can't. Isn't it true that most Americans have been spending a lot of time for a lot of years trying to figure out who in the hell is destroying this country? Haven't they? Well, if you've been spending all that time, what's your answer? Logically, from what you yourself have discovered, not what I've told you up here. The answer is you still don't know, right? Isn't that correct? You look around for the enemy and you can't find the enemy. It's because you haven't looked in the mirror. And that's the truth. You've looked everywhere, except right here. I've searched my entire life to find the devil, and I finally found him. You know where he is? Right here. And I can let him take over, or I can cast him out. But he doesn't exist anywhere else. Don't believe me? Take all human beings out of a complete area and see what happens to that area. And this has nothing to do with the environment, the atmosphere, or anything else. I'm not an environmental freak. What happens? God's plan takes hold. The laws of nature rule. Everything functions as it should, and there is no evil anywhere. Now that ought to tell you that evil exists in the hearts and minds of man. That's where you're going to find the devil. If there is one, he's in us. If you don't believe that, try that little experiment. Just try it. Evil exists only where man exists. Okay? Is there evil on the sun? No. Why not? No, there's no men on the sun. There's no men on the sun. We're not there. The only place you'll find evil is where you find a man or a woman. And the more men and women you find, the more evil you're going to find there. Exists within us. Why does he exist within us? Well, we're going to find out some of it. We're going to find out why certain things are happening. Okay? If we go back as far back in the history as we can possibly go, and if we can imagine, no matter what you believe, okay? Because what I'm going to recount to you now is the official hidden version of mankind that is taught in the mysteries. It's not what I believe. It doesn't have to be. And it doesn't matter whether it's what I believe or what you believe or what anybody else believes. What matters, folks, is that these people are running things. And if they're running things, what they believe will affect us, and we better know what the hell that is. Do Because that's what's driving them. Drives them. Whatever's driving them, that's going to affect us. We have to understand to be able to combat it. A general that goes upon a battlefield without a knowledge of his opponent, enemy commander, his abilities, his tactics, his forces, the weapons at his disposal, and the morale of his men, is most probably going to lose that battle. Those of you who have been in responsible positions in the military, you understand that. Here's their version of history. Like I said, it doesn't matter whether you agree with it, believe in it, or not. It's what they believe. It's what's driving things today. And you better understand it. They believe that way back at the dawn of the history of the human race, there was a golden age. How many of you have heard that? The golden age. So many people read about it in their writings and don't understand what it is and don't even ask a question. They just take it for granted. I did that for years. Golden age. Oh, that's nice. Keep reading, thinking that I understood what I was reading. I didn't understand what I was reading until I figured out what they're talking about. The golden age was the age of innocence in man evolution. This is their story, remember, so don't get upset if you believe a different one. Man could not think. It was an animal. It was innocent. Innocent. It went about his business living according to the laws of nature with the other beasts and animals and plants on this earth. What does religion call it? Garden of Eden. Religion says it's the Garden of Eden. God made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden to take care of the garden. They lived in innocence alongside the beasts of the field and the lions and tigers and the plants and the trees. Back during that time, man was, they say, vegetarian. Ate roots and plants and nuts and berries just like many of the animals did. Man lived in harmony with nature. At some point during that time, some man had an original thought. What is that called in religion? Original sin. Man wasn't supposed to think. Okay? This is what they say. Had an original thought. And with that original thought, he picked something up and he used it to kill an animal. Bonk. You're eating the root that I was going to eat. Bonk. And he killed it. Then it was dead. He decided to take a bite and see what it tastes like. It tasted good, so he became a meat eater. And a tuber eater. And a berry eater. And a nut eater. And vegetable eater. And somewhere along the line, man had learned to use this club. The man that could use the club was more powerful than other men. Just like today, folks, there are people who seem to catch on quicker than others. Doesn't mean the ones who haven't caught on yet are stupid, or they don't have a brain, or they're worthless. It just means they haven't caught on yet. And so the guy that had the club became the king.
I'm the king because if you mess with me, I'll hit you with my club. You haven't learned how to pick up a piece of wood and hit me with it yet. So I am your master.
That worked until other men watching him learned how to pick up a piece of wood and said,
you ain't the king, I'm the king. Well, we the king. Let's all be king.
And then men had to be wary of each other. That was the consequence of that. Men then had to be wary of each other. Then came a day when, lo and behold, fire fell from heaven. A streak of light came out of the sky and struck a tree and caught it on fire. And that tree was burning. Wow.
Now, you'll never understand the significance of that until you understand the significance of this. Back in those times, according to the mystery schools, man was pretty much helpless. And man, unlike the animals, didn't have this big coat of wool. May have had some hair, more than we do now. But he didn't have this big woolly coat. He lived mostly in the tropics. If he went too far out of the tropics, he would die because he didn't have the means to protect himself from the cold. Man understood instinctively that the sun provided the conditions for life on earth. How did he know that? Because when the sun rose in the morning, he was damn thankful to see it, wasn't he? It was warm. And it lit up the earth, and he could see. He could see what he was doing. He could see dangerous animals coming from sometimes miles away. And he instinctively knew that the sun was giving of itself for him and for the plants and the other animals in the earth to live. And in giving of itself, it would all of a sudden sink down and disappear and die. Man lamented that passing. He would spend the night huddled in fear, praying that the sun would come back and save him from the darkness. So the sun became the savior of man as it rose every morning and died every night. Man learned to confront the prince of darkness, and a battle raged between the forces of light and the forces of darkness every 24 hours. That was the beginning of the first religion according to the mysteries. And the first man who learned to predict what happened in the heavens became the first priest. And the priest was the one who sat the first king on the first throne by using what? The gift that Prometheus brought to man. Who said that? I heard the word. What is it?
Fire.
Prometheus is another word for what? Lucifer. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Lucifer was what? The great angel of light. In the mysteries, they believe that the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is a metaphor for the evolution of mankind. Now remember, this is what they believe. That man was being held prisoner in the bonds, the chains of ignorance in the Garden of Eden by an unjust and vindictive and terrible God. He was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan with the gift of intellect, which was brought to man with fire. The story of Prometheus bringing the gift of fire from heaven to mankind is the story of Satan enticing Eve and then Adam through Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In other words, they believe that the great fall of man was not a fall at all, but was a tremendous gift from Lucifer, who is their God. What does Lucifer represent? The intellect, knowledge. Some man went to that tree when it was burning after it was struck by that lightning, after Lucifer was flung out of heaven by God. In Greek, he was called Prometheus. Gave the gift of fire to man. Fire has ever since been the symbol of learning, knowledge, intellect. Why do you think every great book of learning has inside the front cover a lamp with a flame or a torch? Why do you think after they killed him they put an eternal flame on the grave of John F. Kennedy? It represents the conquering of nature and the universe by the mind, the intellect of man. It represents the apotheosis of humanity, the perfection of the race which they seek. Deep stuff, huh? It is deep stuff, but you have to understand it in order to be able to combat it, or to be able to work it to your will instead of being worked to their will. Whoever picked a burning branch up from that burning tree and learned to keep it alive became the ruler of his universe. Fire can only come from God. God lived in fire. Fire was God. Fire represented the ability to think. Fire represented the intellect. Why do you think every major religion in the world, bar none, up to a certain point in history, kept a fire burning on the altar which was never allowed to go out? It was the representation of the sun. All life, all energy, everything flowed from the sun. Sun was the representation of the power of God in the priesthood. To the common, profane humanity, the sun was God and was worshipped by almost every tribe and nation and people upon the face of this earth. It's important that you understand this, because you're going to see this symbology everywhere. How many of you have really been to Dealey Plaza? What did you see there?
At the time we were there, we didn't know to look for the things that we do now.
You didn't see anything, did you? People go there every day, they don't see anything. How many of you knew that the ancient pyramids were never burial chambers? Never. Okay, some of you are up to date. Most of you aren't, though. Most of you don't know this. They were not burial chambers. They were temples of initiation in which the candidate was placed in the sarcophagus, suffered a mystical or symbolic death, lay 3 days in the coffin alone, and then was raised by the grip of the lion's paw, given a new name, and sent through the initiation in the passageways of the pyramid. How many of you knew that the sum total of all of the knowledge of the primitive peoples was built into the pyramids to be passed on to the initiates? The mysteries are old. Freemasonry is old. Rosicrucianism is old. Ancient. It began when the first man picked up a branch burning and learned how to keep it alight. And he learned by hiding the method by which he maintained the fire, and by telling the common man that God dwelt within the fire, and by learning to predict the movements of the heavens, he could control all of the people in the realm that he could communicate to. And he became the first priest. The priests have seldom been kings, but the priests have always been the power behind the kings. Without the okay of the priests, the king cannot mount the throne, or could not in those days. Okay? So they learned several things. They learned that by being able to predict the natural events in the heavens, to be able to keep a fire burning on the altar, and to be able to start a fire from nothing and not teach that to anybody else, they could control large numbers of people who in those days thought that that was magical. And then their lives depend upon knowing when to plant the corn and when to harvest, when to till the ground and all of those things. These are the things that the priests learned to teach them. And of course, if they made a wrong guess or a wrong prediction, what was it? We've done something that displeased God. Therefore, we must make a sacrifice. All right? You're it. For some reason, they were partial to virgins. In South America, it was whoever the captives were. And they would create wars just to get captives so that they could have sacrifices to appease the gods. All throughout the history of the world, these people have been the ones who have collected and hoarded the sum total of the knowledge of humankind. They called themselves the illumined ones, and in those days they were truly illumined, enlightened. They're the only ones who had the knowledge. The rest of the people were deprived. Over long periods of time, some knowledge would either leak out to the people, or the people would make discoveries, or would have original thoughts of their own and pass it on. So as man became more educated, the machinations of the Illuminati became more complicated and more clever. And the more they had to really hoard and guard the technology and the knowledge and the truth that they held. They called what they knew the esoteric, and what you know, or the profane, the exoteric. In other words, the esoteric is the inward truth, that which is withheld, that which is guarded, not known by what they call the masses. The exoteric is the outward form that they throw to the people, the metaphors that they tell. One of the ways they put it that I wrote in my book is that they speak directly to God while the people bow down to stone statues which can neither hear nor speak. Now, it doesn't mean they're really speaking to God. This is a metaphor, remember. What it means is they're really communicating the truth. This is what they believe. Doesn't matter what we believe in their world. And if they're controlling us, we have to understand what it is that they believe and why. You see, they believe that through the use of the intellect, man himself will conquer nature. And what happens when you conquer nature? You're God. Isn't that true? They believe through the use of science and the intellect of man, man will conquer nature and the universe, and man will be God. Now, does that ring true?
That's it for today, folks. We'll continue with this tomorrow. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
The Hour of the Time may be contacted at HOTT, that's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, in the state of Arizona, 85925. Our phone number is 928-333-2942, and our website is www.hourofthetime.com.